Awesome. How is everybody? Good? Awesome. Awesome. Well, glad to be with you this morning. My name is Stephen. I pastor Calvary Chapel, Portland City. It is kind of far from here, I guess, you know. But not too far from here. We're in Central City, Portland. So really excited to be up there. And, you know, the Lord has, the Lord is good, right? I mean, what more can you really say on that? Pastor Carlos, as was mentioned, he is away this Sunday, so he asked me to fill in for him, which I'm honored to be here with you all. I feel like, you know, I got to be honest, like my church is my favorite church, but this has probably like my second favorite church. So, but every time I come here, it's just a blessing to be with all of you and to be able to serve you and, really excited to see what the Lord is going to speak to us all this morning. So let's go ahead and bow in a word of prayer and we'll go ahead and get started. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, and your love. Lord, you know exactly what we need to hear this morning. And Father, Lord, it's not about us and our will. It's really about you and your will, Lord. And you said that if anyone wants to come after you, Lord, that, Lord, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. And, Lord, that's hard to do. So I pray that you would just give us grace this morning, strength. Lord, whatever we're dealing with, Father, whatever we came in with, I pray that you would just meet us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. So we thank you so much, Lord. We praise you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We're going to be covering just a couple verses this morning. But the title of my message is How to Rest Without Slowing Down. Yeah, I don't know if many of you are like me, but maybe you struggle with resting. Resting is not something you're good at. It's not one of your strengths. You know, I don't know if anybody here ever do that Strength Finder thing, right? I don't know if it's if it's in that book or not, but if it is, like, you just wouldn't score good on it, right? And, you know, resting is not always something that comes natural to us, but rest is important. It's something that we need from time to time. For many of us, it can be hard to rest because we put resting and doing, we kind of make them opposite of one another. It's almost like two magnets. When you try and put them together with the opposite sides, they just don't fit. So often what happens is as you're following God, or maybe you're here and you're not following God yet, you know, you find yourself doing all of these things in your life, and we sacrifice rest because we don't want to give up what we're doing. We don't want to slow down. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you know, that you can do both. You can do more than you've ever done before for the Lord, for God, and you can rest and feel the most best you've ever felt in your life. I almost said the most bestest. I don't know. Now I'm thinking Little Caesars, and I might have to go get the extra most bestest pizza after here. I just want to be upfront with you. Little Caesars is not paying me to say that, okay? Although I Little Caesars, if you're watching, I'm your guy, you know, just saying. But it's true. You don't have to sacrifice doing a lot of things for God. Maybe your love is to just serve the Lord. You don't have to sacrifice that in order to be rested. Maybe your love and the thing you love doing is your work and you are so passionate about it and God has just gifted you for it. You don't have to sacrifice that in order to rest. And on the contrary, you don't have to sacrifice your rest in order to do more. Maybe right now you're struggling because you love doing everything that you're doing for your family. You love being at all of your kids' sports games and practices. You love being a part of your community. You love being a part of church, but you're finding yourself tired this morning. And you're sacrificing rest to do these things that you love. And I want you to know, you don't have to pick and choose. God has given us a way where you can do as much and more than you've ever done before in your life and be able to rest and be at peace. But it comes through listening to the Lord and what he would have us and how he would have us to live. As we look this morning at how to rest without slowing down, we're going to look at three things in this passage. We're going to look at the invitation to rest. We're going to look at the source of rest. And we're going to look at the nature of rest. Again, three things: the invitation to rest, the source of rest, and the nature of rest. Go ahead and follow along in Matthew 11, verse 28. Notice what it says here. It says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, a little bit of a background on this passage. Jesus, at this time, he's going from town to town, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and he's saying a lot of things. You know, it's interesting. You can always kind of tell the thing about Jesus's ministry, he could draw a crowd. But as quickly as he could draw a crowd was as quickly as he could also turn off a crowd. Did you know that? See, people would come for all sorts of things. They would come with all sorts of needs. They would come if they had a loved one who was sick, and they would be very quick to bring that loved one to Jesus so Jesus could heal them. And maybe, you know, you would have people who were struggling with someone who was tormented by a demon possession. They would bring them to Jesus. Jesus would heal them. Someone would come and would have just nothing, would be completely injured and maimed, and the Lord would heal them. And the Lord just gave and gave, and he met so many needs. He would touch so many people's lives. But what's interesting is the second that he began to share, a lot of people started leaving once he began to get into the hard things of the message. And maybe you're here this morning, and what brought you here was a need that you have. And at some point in this morning's message, you're going to be confronted with the truth about God, and you're going to be left with a decision. And I hope that you don't leave and never come back. I hope that you don't leave, because the truth is if you come to Jesus with your need and you leave without having that need met because you didn't want to hear what he had to say, listen, you will carry that need with you for the rest of your life. Now, you came here hoping to be unburdened, but you don't want to receive what he wants to say to you. I promise you this, you will leave carrying the same burdens that you walked in with, except it will be worse. Why? Because you're going to have this thought, and it's going to continue to eat at you until you get right with Christ. This thought of, man, I want what Jesus can offer me. I want it so bad, but it is hard for me to truly surrender. And I want to encourage you this morning to open your heart to Jesus. If you're wrestling with God, you know, sometimes we can wrestle with God and we think that we can win. And you'll find out, as many of us have, that it is a losing battle. It is a losing battle. One of the things that Jesus said when he was sharing to this group of people, again, he said many things. Some of them were hard for people to receive, and some of them, like this, was an invitation for all to come to him. And one of the things he gives here is he gives this invitation to rest. And again, in verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Now, he talks about those who labor, and Jesus, again, and he's talking to people that, you know, had grown up religious, and there was a lot of people that grew up not religious. So if you're here this morning, and maybe this is your first time ever being in a church, understand, don't feel like you're on the outside looking in. And Jesus sees you, and Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, and he loves you. In fact, the Bible says he formed you in the womb. And before you were ever even born, he knew your name. He made you exactly how you are. All of the things about your personality that maybe you're like, oh, I hate that I have this, or I hate that I'm that way, or man, the Lord fashioned you in the womb. And he wants to use you exactly how you are, but it starts with you giving your life to him and surrendering to him and ending that fight and that struggle with him. And he gives this call out and he says, listen, he says, anybody who's laboring, you know, Israel at that time, it was very blue collar. It was an area of farms and vineyards. It was very blue collar, almost similar to Oregon a little bit. And Jesus is calling out. He's like, hey, anybody here labor? And I can see half of the crowd, more than half, like raising their hands, like, I'm laboring, Lord. But the labor that Jesus is talking about here, it's a very broad statement. You know, he's talking about those who, of course, are working hard and they're laboring, but he's also talking about those who are working hard in the ministry, those who are serving the Lord. You know, the Bible, when it talks about serving the Lord, it uses different illustrations. It uses these pictures to help us understand what serving the Lord is like. One of those pictures is of a soldier that is enlisted for battle. You're going to war. And that's how sometimes serving God is. Yeah, you are in a battle. Another illustration that it uses is that of a farmer. Why? Because serving the Lord, it's labor. It can be hard. And I want to challenge you this morning, if you're serving the Lord simply because you think that it is going to be easy or fun, or you're going to get a little badge with your name, or they're going to bring you up on the stage and honor you, listen, you're in the wrong field. Serving the Lord is not about that. Serving the Lord, it's about meeting the needs of others. It's about putting others before ourselves. It's about putting ourselves last. In fact, Jesus said, hey, he told his disciples one time, because they were arguing, they would always argue about who was the greatest. Like, imagine Jesus is there, like, pouring his heart out to his disciples. He's like, listen, guys, he's like, you know, I'm going to be killed pretty soon. They're going to put me through a horrendous death. And his disciples are like, oh, okay, Jesus, yeah, yeah. And then they're whispering, hey, who do you think is going to be the greatest between us? You know, who's Jesus's favorite, you know? And so Jesus told him, he said, look, he said, if you want to be the greatest, awesome. He said, learn how to be the least. And if you want to serve the Lord, I want to encourage you, man, pick the task that nobody wants to do. Be the least. And be okay being the least, because I can promise you this, if you're not okay with being the least, God will never make you the greatest. It's about ministry and serving God. It's about dying to yourself. And understand, serving the Lord, it is labor. You know, this word labor, it's used 23 times in the New Testament. And 13 of those times is referring to serving the Lord, ministry, spiritual work. Paul talks about his co-laborers. What were those? Those were people that went anywhere he went. They served the Lord with him. Those were people that if Paul said, hey, I want you to, you know, get up and I want you to go to this next city and go preach the gospel, they were gone. They had given their lives to serve the Lord. You know, Paul, when he described his ministry experience, it wasn't private jets and it wasn't Mercedes Benzes and it wasn't a social media influencer, you know, 10 million followers. It wasn't a mansion in a gated community. You know what he described it? He said, I was beaten many times. He says, I went through a couple shipwrecks. He says, I was persecuted. I was delivered to the lions, and then the Lord delivered me out of the lions. You know, he says one time that he fought with the beasts. Some people wonder if maybe he would had been put into the Colosseum of that of Roman culture and had actually had an experience where he had to evade, you know, lions. They would put lions in there with people. Paul described his experience. He said, man, we're hungry all the time. He's like, our clothes, we haven't gotten new clothes in days. He's like, it's tough. He said, there's all sorts of pressures from without, and there's all sorts of pressures from within. He said, and you know what drives me forward? He said, I just have this burden to serve the Lord. I have this burden for the churches. And I want to challenge you this morning. Serving the Lord is hard. It is laborsome. And if anything I just said discourages you right now, I want to encourage you to go home and to ask the Lord to change your heart. You know why? Because the Bible says that he is looking for just one person that he can use. Think about this. This whole room here. So awesome to see so many of you here. And out of this whole room, think about it. God is just looking for one person who's going to answer his call. One person who is going to say, okay, God, I hear you and I'm going to respond. He doesn't need all of us. He just needs one of us. Hey, and if there's a few of you in here and you're all in for Christ, hey, three, four, whatever, more the merrier. But God is just looking for one person. And you know how often he finds that one person? Not very often. Why? Because of the cost. Serving the Lord is hard. It comes at a great cost. But there is no greater thing to give your life to. You know, I want to just be very upfront with you. Many of us are going to step into eternity. You have to understand whatever assets you accumulated on this earth are not going to go with you. Your retirement fund is not going to go with you. And your houses, your properties, your rental assets, all these things that you've spent years and years building up, none of that's going to go with you. You know what will go with you? The things that you did for God. And that scares me because I know for myself personally how much investment and time I have put into myself. And I fear that one day when I stand before the Lord and when I enter into eternity, I'm going to not have a whole lot to show for what I did for Christ. And for each of us here, listen, you have a decision to make. Now, you can leave here and you can continue to live how you're living, or you can fully surrender and get serious with God and answer his call for your life. Because, yeah, it is hard and there are hardships, but I can tell you, you know, there's a saying that says it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be anywhere else. And it is so true. And it is so rewarding to serve the Lord with your life. It is so rewarding to serve the Lord in ministry. It is so rewarding to follow his call for your life and to obey him. Now, you will have more joy than anyone else around you when you say yes to the Lord and you fully surrender and you obey him. But know that it comes at a cost. It is laborsome. But Jesus, when he's calling out to those who are laboring, he's not just talking about those who are serving in ministry. He's talking about those who are doing things for the Lord. Now, maybe your ministry is your home. And you are investing in your children and raising them in the ways of the Lord. And you are working hard at it. Maybe your ministry is your job. Maybe your ministry is to work hard so you can give to missions. Maybe your ministry, whatever it might be, it's whatever you do for the Lord, that is really your ministry. And it can be hard work at times. But Jesus is not just talking about spiritual things. Remember, he's talking to people that were religious and people that were not religious. And he's talking to many people around, and you know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, anyone here who's working hard, anyone here who's out there and you're spent, and your hands are spent, they are calloused, and you have arthritis at an early age because of the labor that you have put in to provide for your family. Your body is more injured than someone who is normally, typically your age because of the hard work that you have put in. You know, I think of the mother who has raised her children. And maybe you're down on yourself. Maybe you don't feel as youthful as you once did because of the years, the sleepless nights of caring for your children. Jesus is talking to all of us and he's saying, look, if you're out there and you are laboring, you are working hard, he's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. But he doesn't just give this call for those who are laboring. You know, he gives this call also for those who are burdened. Notice he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does it mean to be heavy laden? In the olden times, what they would do is you would have an animal and they would load this animal with burdens. They would load it with things that they needed to carry. And they would load it up and then this animal would carry these burdens, and it was called lading an animal. And what Jesus is saying is he's saying, hey, just like an animal is laden down with burdens, it is heavily laden. He's talking to this crowd and he's saying, hey, if anyone here is heavy laden, you are just burdened. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. I think many of us carry burdens, don't we? There are many burdens that you carry, many pressures. Some of you are here and you are just, you feel almost crushed under the weight of everything you are carrying. You have the whole weight of the world on your shoulders. You feel this heaviness in your life. You wake up with it, it's there. You go to sleep, it's there. You come to church, it's there. You worship, you can't even worship because you feel so burdened. And then you leave, and what happens? You leave and you don't feel like talking to anybody. You just book it down the stairs. Why? Because you are burdened with heaviness. You are carrying all of these things and you are burdened. And not only can we be burdened with the responsibilities, with the pressures, with all of these things in our life, but we can also be burdened with many tasks. Maybe your schedule right now, there is no time for you because you have so many things to do, so many things to focus on, and there is no time for anything else. And so you have put going to church, it's secondary. Don't have time for it. And meeting with the pastor for coffee, don't have time for that. Serving in ministry, don't have time for that. Reading my kids the Bible before they go to bed, don't have time for that. Praying with my wife like she asked me to 6 months ago, don't have time for that. You are burdened with so many tasks and you have put everything else off. And what happens? Listen, just like we can work ourselves to the point of exhaustion, we can also burden ourselves to the point of breaking and being crushed by the burdens that we are carrying. You can burden yourself so much. Jesus is looking out at the crowd, and no doubt there were many there who were tired. There were many there who were burdened. It took everything in their power just to get there to see Jesus. I wonder how many of you, it took every last ounce of strength for you to get up out of bed this morning and to get here to church. But you're here, and I want you to know God is going to meet you here this morning. Jesus gives this invitation, and I love it so much because notice what the invitation is. He says, hey, he says, if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, you're exhausted, you're burnt out, you're spent, what does he say? He says very simply, come to me. You know what the message of Jesus is? It's a simple message. Come to him. And come to him. And allow him to meet your need. You know, he doesn't send you away. I think sometimes we can think that if we go to the Jesus, that he's going to send us away because our need is too great. He can't help that need. And I want you to know there is no need or issue. There is no problem in your life that you have that God cannot meet. Maybe you're here, and even as I said that, you're thinking to yourself, you're like, well, yeah, Pastor doesn't know what's going on in my life right now. And if he knew, he wouldn't say that. Here, I'm here to tell you, listen, Jesus doesn't say, come to me only if. He says what? He says, come to me. The Bible says that the Spirit goes forth, the Spirit and the bride in the last days. And what do they say? All who thirst, anyone who thirsts, and anyone who is longing to have their needs met, anyone who is longing to be set free from whatever it is you're going through, anyone who is longing to find rest and peace in your life, anyone who is longing to be fulfilled, anyone, regardless of your situation, regardless of your past, regardless of what you've been through or what you've done to others, what does he say? He says, all who thirst, come. The invitation is broad. And what does Jesus offer them? He offers them rest. You know, the rest that he talks about here, it's another word for it is to recover, which is often what we think about with rest, right? When we rest, we take a day off to do what? To recover. You have a hard week, what do? Hey, I'm going to take Saturday morning and rest so I can recover, so I can go do it again. You worked 14 days straight, 21 days straight, 18, 20-hour shifts. What do? Sometimes you need to take a day off to do what? To rest, to recover. And what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, look, he's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you that recovery that you are looking for. And see, some of you are here and you are so burdened with everything that's going on in your life that you don't know that rest is what you need. And I'm not just talking about physical rest. Now, you need the Lord to give you rest so you can recover from all of the pain that you've experienced in your life. You need the Lord to give you rest so you can recover from all of the hurts that have been dealt to you. You need the Lord to give you rest so that you can recover, so that you can just continue on without ending your life. Jesus promises and he says, I will give you that rest. I will give you that recovery. I will give it to you. You know, we've looked at this invitation for rest, but I want to look next at the source of rest. You know, it's interesting that Jesus says here, and this really hit me as I was studying, he says, I will give you rest. He doesn't say, come to me, and then, you know, we'll figure out the whole rest situation. No, no, no. He says, just come to me. That's all you got to do. That makes it easy, right? You can't always slow down. I can't always slow down. Now, there's commitments, there's responsibilities, but you know what's one thing that each and every one of us can do? Is we can come to Jesus. And he doesn't tell us to figure out rest on our own. What does he do? He says, just come to me. That's all you got to do. Take that step. And when you do, I will give you the rest that you are looking for. You know, God is a giver by nature, and maybe you're here this morning and your perception of God is that he is a taker because he has taken things from you. You've lost a loved one. Maybe you feel that you were robbed of a life that you should have had. And now every decision you make and everything you do is a result of what wasn't given to you when you were young and growing up. You can feel like God is a taker. Maybe he has taken your job from you. You know, I want you to understand is that God is a giver, not a taker. Does he allow things to be taken from us? Yes. Does sometimes he remove things from our life? Yes. but he is also a giver. James chapter 1 verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, much of a relationship with God, it is just about receiving what God wants to give you. It is not about earning things from God. It's not a, okay, God, I'm going to do this, and then once I do this, then you're going to give me that. Much of it is just obeying God and then God giving to you what he wants to give to you. And understand, the Bible says this, that he knows the plans that he has for you, thoughts of peace, thoughts to prosper you, thoughts to give you a future and a hope. Those are good things. You know, Jesus told an illustration. He said, look, he said, you know, if your child were to come to you, or maybe you don't have kids, and maybe a child comes to you and asks you for a piece of bread, right? You're not going to give them a stone. You're not going to pull out a scorpion and give them a scorpion. And Jesus used that illustration. He said, look, he said, if you guys would do that, imagine how much more God will give good things to those who ask him. God is not wanting to do you harm. He is not against you. Quite the contrary, he wants to give you things. And the most important thing that you can receive from God is the free gift of salvation. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that if you put your faith in him, that's simple. You just got to believe in what he did. Put your faith in him. Surrender to him. Receive him into your life. Confess him as Lord. So simple. What is it? The Bible says that you are saved. You receive that gift of salvation and everything that comes along with it. A new life. Freedom, peace, joy, purpose. Satisfaction. You know, Jesus said that a relationship with God, it's like drinking from water that is so good that you are never thirsty again. And he offers that to each of us. And rest is no different. Listen, just like God gives us salvation, gives us the Holy Spirit, gives us gifts, spiritual gifts. What does God also do? He also promises here to give us rest, to give us recovery. You know, many of us, though, we look at rest again as something that we make happen. And we make a grave mistake when we do that. Why? Because we're just taking another burden on our shoulders. And you're already burdened and you're taking another one. You know, when I was a kid, I used to play this game of how many grocery bags could I carry in at one time into the house, you know? I don't know, anybody else here ever do that or no? Okay, yeah, right? It's almost like a challenge. You never told anyone, like, you know, but you just use a challenge. Like, okay, can I fit it all in one trip, you know? Sometimes, though, we can carry things and we're already so burdened. We have so many things that we're carrying. And what do we do? It's like, do you really want to add another thing on top of that? Trying to worry about when to rest, how to rest, making sure that you're rested enough, making sure that you recover from it. You really want to take that burden on yourself? That is why Jesus says, hey, don't worry about it. I got it. Literally what he's saying. He's saying, hey, come to me. I'm going to give you rest. You don't got to worry about rest anymore. He's like, I've got that covered. I'll take care of you. You don't got to take that burden upon yourself. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says this. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What does that mean? It means that when you put God first and you make seeking him a priority, you prioritize your relationship with God above everything else. What does it mean? All of the things that you need, God gives them to you when you need them. You don't have to worry about them. You don't have to worry about providing. God's got you. You don't have to worry about rest. God has got you. Imagine that you can leave here this morning. Maybe some of you, you've already given your life to Christ, and what you need is not to give your life to Christ again. What you need is to just reshift your priorities. Making one small change, making a decision that you want to put God first in your life, and you can leave here and you don't have to worry ever again about God providing and meeting a need that you have. You know, either the Bible's real or it's not. Either God is real or he's not. And if God is not real and the Bible is not real, you guys, we are all wasting our time. But if it is real, and if he is real, and many of you believe that, and I know, and I, that you guys, I've given my life to the Lord. And I'll do it again. Because I believe that God is real. And if he's real, then we can trust his word. We can believe him. We don't have to doubt and wonder and worry and stress. And we can put him first and we can trust that he's going to come through and do what he promised. Why? Because he's real and his word is true. He will give you what you need when you need it, and that goes along with rest. He will give you rest. I think one of the greatest mistakes we make is that we so often will set our pace. What I mean by that is like what we talked about a minute ago. We decide when we need rest and how much rest we need. And so what we do is, again, we take on this burden upon ourselves of trying to work out our thing to make sure that we rest and recover exactly how much we think we need to. And some of you might be here, and again, maybe you're here and you're looking at your life and you're like, yeah, serving the Lord, it's not the right time. It's too stressful. It's too much. I just need to take a step back and gather myself and recover and take care of myself. And you can take that mentality and apply it to anything in your life. Oh, you know, right now it's just not the time to start a Bible study. It's not the time, you know, it's just, I just need to take a step back and focus on myself and my family. And what you're doing is you're putting your needs first and you're putting God second. And it's going to send you right back into the same situation you were before, where you are now going to be worried and stressed about every little thing. Why? Because you are carrying a burden that God has not called you to carry. What does he say? He says, come to me, I will give you rest. I'll take care of it. You just put me first in your life. That's all you got to do. Put me first and I'll take care of the rest. Obey me and I'll take care of the rest. Something that I shared during first service that I want to share again. You know, there are times in our lives where because we're trying to figure out rest and what it looks like for us, maybe you might be slowing down on serving the Lord when God is actually wanting you to start ramping things up. And God is moving, God is working. You are kind of on that climb. And what do? You want to slow things down because you've hit, again, this point of being burdened and hard work, and you've worked yourself to exhaustion and you're feeling burnt out. And you think that the answer is to just pull back so you can rest. You know, the same God that gives rest, you know what else he also gives? He gives strength. He gives endurance. He gives you strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Think about that. When you're at your weakest, God's going to give you strength. When you feel like you can't do it anymore, God is going to give you strength. When you're ready to throw in the towel, God is going to give you strength. He will give you the power to continue on. See, the answer is not to try and figure out our rest situation or pull back so we can rest and recover. The answer is to what? To simply come to Him and allow Him to give us whatever we need when we need it. And it might be rest, or it might be strength. You know, there's a story, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's the story of the disciples. You know, there was one miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. Do you know what that is? It's the feeding of the 5,000, which many people estimate, including myself, that it's upwards of 20,000 people were fed. What happened was, is Jesus had sent his disciples out on this ministry trip. He said, hey, go two by two and go into all the different towns and preach the gospel and heal the sick. And the Bible says that he empowered them. He gave them the power to do that. So they go out, they come back. They were just pumped. They were so excited about everything that God has done. And it says that they were so busy. There was so much activity. They were here, they were there. This person was coming up to them. There was so much going on that they didn't even have time to eat. So busy. Running on adrenaline. And you all know, right? Once the adrenaline fades off, the hunger comes in strong. You know, like, I don't play. You know, there is the spirit of hangriness. And it's for real. And they're there, and, you know, Jesus is like, hey, guys, you've done really, really well. Now it's time to rest. You guys are so busy, you haven't even eaten. Jesus is probably like, it's like these are like his children, you know? He's like, you know, did you eat? Did you shower? Like, Peter, you smell a little bit. Like, you know, like, did you guys take care of yourselves? Like, but what does he do? He says, hey, he says, come aside and rest. Come aside and recover. They had this need for rest. So what do? They get into this boat and they're rowing across the lake. And all of a sudden, all of these people see that Jesus and his disciples are going across the lake. So they go, they tell all their friends. Long story short, this big crowd of people meets Jesus and his disciples as they get to the other side of the lake. Here they're going to go rest. They go to this deserted place, and all of these people came from all over. And Jesus gets off the boat. I can just imagine Jesus is probably telling the disciples, he's like, oh, you guys, this is a good spot. He's like, there's no one there, you know? And as they're pulling up to the shore, all of a sudden they see all these people. And I imagine Peter's probably like, Jesus, are you sure this is the right spot? Why are there all these people here? You said we were going to a deserted place to rest. But they get there, and what happens? They get there, and it says that Jesus was so moved with compassion for the people. It says that he sat down and he taught them many things. So much so, the day was far spent. He taught them into the night. And then at the very end, the disciples finally come to him and they're like, hey, Jesus, you got to send these people away. They're hungry. They need to eat. And Jesus is like, no, 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 no. He's like, if we send them away, they're not even going to make it home because they are hungry. Why don't you give them something to eat? They're like, well, we don't have the money. And Jesus is like, okay, I got you. Bring me what you have. So they brought him all that they could find, which was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus took it and he fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. An amazing, amazing miracle. And when you think about it, this amazing miracle that God did happened when the disciples were in the most need of rest. They had been spent, and they were exhausted physically. They were hungry, and spiritually, they had given out all they had to give. You know, sometimes spiritually, you can give out everything that you have, and you start running on empty. And that is why having a strong devotional life is important, because you need to stay spiritually full, spiritually filled up. And in their moment of their most greatest weakness physically and emotionally and spiritually, they just had nothing left to give. God does this great miracle. And for many of us, I want to challenge you this morning is that if you feel like you are just spent, you have nothing left to give. You're like, I need a vacation. I need to rest. I need to recover. I need to make a change. I need to do something. Come to Him and He will either give you rest or He'll give you strength. And then He'll do what? He will do amazing things through your life. I remember there was a time when I went to go teach, and it was back when I lived. I'm not originally from Oregon. I used to live in California. Don't hate me. Don't judge me. I'll tell you what. Don't hate me for being from California. I won't hate you guys from being from Oregon, okay? No, I'm just kidding. All right, but originally wasn't from here. You know, and I was on staff at a fairly large church, and I'm doing ministry all the time. And I remember there was one time where I taught on a Friday night. I was doing ministry on a Saturday. I taught on a Sunday. And then on a Monday night, we had this Bible study at a rehab facility. And it was like 2-hour drive in traffic, LA traffic. And I was spent. I was not feeling good. You know how when you start to not feel good, you start to get like, you're just like, I don't even have, you're just my everything. I was just a mess. Sick, or I was getting sick. I don't know. I mean, it was back before COVID. So, you know, it's different. Back then when you were sick, you know, you didn't have to really vet like, you know, am I sick or is it COVID sick? You know? It was just like, take some Tylenol, drink some Vicks, or not Vicks, you know, put on some Vicks, you know, drink some tea and go. And I remember I went and I'm just like, man, I'm like, I didn't even want to be there. And I was supposed to teach. And I go, and I remember it was probably one of the times that I remember I just felt the Lord do such a special work that night. Many of the men there were touched, and many of them gave their lives to Christ. I just remember leaving, and I've never forgotten that, because it was a reminder that when we are at our weakest, sometimes it's God, when God wants to do His greatest works in our life. Come to Him and He will give you rest. In closing, I want to look at the nature of rest. Again, in Matthew 11, verse 29, it says this. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We've looked at the invitation to rest. Jesus, come to me. Then we've looked at the source of rest, that He gives it. It is something He gives. And again, now we want to talk about the nature of rest. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Take my yoke upon you." What is the yoke? What they would do is, it was this wooden contraption, and they would put it on an ox. And then from there, that yoke, that wooden piece, it would have this like a long wooden pole that would attach to a cart. And then they would load the cart up with burdens, and then that ox would go, and as it would go, it would carry behind it the cart. And Jesus is telling them, he's saying, take my yoke upon you. What's the translation for that? Very simple. He's saying, hey, I want you to stop carrying your burden, and I want you to start carrying my burden. He says, take my yoke upon you. You know, his burdens are not burdensome. The Bible says that his commandments, they're not burdensome. They're not a burden. Listen, following God, having a relationship with him, obeying him, serving him, it is not burdensome. You know what is burdensome? Man, fighting against the Lord. Oh, you are carrying a burden, friend. You know what is burdensome? And loading yourself down with the worries and the cares of this world instead of coming to Jesus. You know what is not a burden? And doing and obeying and doing the will of God for your life. And obeying him. Not a burden at all. He says, take my yoke upon you. And then what does he say? He says, learn from me. You know, the NLT, it translates that. It says, let me teach you. Love it. Jesus is just like, hey, let me teach you. Let me show you my ways. You know, the Bible has so much wisdom, so much instruction. If you're right now, maybe you're in a place where you're like, I just don't know what to do. I guarantee you the answer is most likely here. There is so much wisdom and instruction. And what do you do when you read the Bible? You're not just reading it to get head knowledge. You're reading it to do what? You're reading it so that God begins to teach you how to think like he thinks. And what is the right thing to do? You begin to learn his way. You learn from him. But we are not just there to learn his ways. Notice what he says. He says again in verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. And then he says this, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And don't just learn from his ways. Listen, learn from his character. And being Christ-like, the Bible says to be imitators of God. And being Christ-like, Jesus, gentle, humble, lowly in mind. It's humble, it's humility. That is something, listen, if we were to walk with humility in our lives, you would be a totally different person, and I would be too. I'm not up here just preaching at you. True humility is, it's thinking nothing of ourselves. It is complete death to self. You know, all of these things that Jesus is talking about here, you know, they all require one thing, and you know what that is? Death to self. You know what will stand in the way of us learning his ways? You know what will stand in the way of us obeying him? You know what will stand in the way of us modeling his character? You know what will stand in the way? Self. There is only one place for the self life, and that is on the cross. The Bible says to crucify our flesh. And you got to reckon it dead. You got to consider it nothing. Consider it dead. And how do you know what the flesh is? Well, very simple. The flesh, it's that part of you that wants to sin. But it's also a step further. You know, the flesh and the self life, it's basically anything that starts with I or me or my. How often do we find ourselves saying phrases like this? Oh, well, that's not what's best for me. Oh, I don't really want that. Well, they don't see my value. Well, I'm not going to put up with that. How often do we find ourselves saying these phrases? More often than we would all admit, right? I know for me, for sure, it's a lot. Daily. Self will be the biggest blocker for you in finding rest for your souls. Why? Because notice what he says next. He says, if you can do these things, he says, you will find rest for your souls. You know, this rest, this word, it's a different word than the rest we talked about before, that recovery. This rest, it's an intermission, it's a pause, it's a break. It's a moment of peace. Another interesting thing, he doesn't say here, I will give you rest for your souls. What does he say? He says, you will find it. Why is this so different? It is not just rest and recovery, but it is a different type of rest because it is rest for our souls. And the frustrations, the war within, and the lusts of the flesh, and that raging battle that you go through, and the anxiety that you carry, the frustrations, all of that, the restlessness of your soul. What does Jesus say? He says, hey, if you are willing to die to yourself, take my yoke upon you, learn my ways, model my character. He's like, and that war within is going to cease. You will have rest, that moment of peace, that rest for your souls. Much of the reason why we have all these frustrations, and it's because we're not really truly yet willing and ready to die to the flesh. Sometimes God will put you in situations and it is just murdering the flesh. And it is just killing all that. The I, me, myself first, all that just is getting just crushed. And if you want that to stop, listen, the answer is not to push back harder against the Lord and keep trying to push your way and force your way upon God and force your will upon God. The answer is very simple. Man, it's to die to self. To take his yoke upon you. Learn his way. And model his character. Verse 30, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, his way is better. His way is better. You can leave here this morning. You can go right back to the frustrations and the burnt out. You can go right back to all the restlessness and anxiety and anxiousness. Or you can leave here fully surrendered to Christ. And see the amazing things that God will do through you. And step into eternity with something to show for this life. This life, the Bible says, it's like a vapor. It's gone. And as soon as it comes, it's gone. And you have an opportunity, I have an opportunity, that we can leave this earth with something to show for our time here. And you know what's the greatest reward that we can leave with? And that we didn't go to heaven alone, but that we brought people with us because of the way that we lived. You're here and you're like, well, I'm not an evangelist. Hey, your life does the evangelizing for you more than anything else. But it's not going to have an impact if you're still living for yourself. You need to live for Christ. Let's pray. Father, I come before you and I just pray, Lord. I want to just ask, Father, that you would just meet us here as we worship, as we wait upon you. Lord, I pray for anyone here, Lord, who is, Lord, just restless inside, Lord, struggling, anxious. Father, I pray that you would meet them, Lord. May you touch them. And what I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. As Cassie worships, if you want to receive Christ into your life, you want to end the fight, I want you to stand to your feet. And at the end of this song, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to receive Christ. And if you're afraid, I want you to know you have nothing to fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And we were all afraid. Every single person in this room, you understand, you're standing among family, people that love you. You don't have to be afraid. We were all afraid once, but we took that step of faith and it changed everything for us. And so as Cassie leads us in a song, again, if you want to receive Christ, I just want you to stand to your feet, and at the end of this song, we'll pray.